Hello and welcome to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and this is The Morning Voice. Happy Independence Day. We are celebrating 4th of July because it marks the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, when the 13 American colonies declared their independence from British rule, setting the stage for the formation of the United States of America. In the 249 years since then, Americans have fought for democracy, independence, and freedom. And to celebrate that quest for freedom, we want to acknowledge the men and women who have fought for us, especially those who live in our own community in Tucson at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. Our guest this morning is really important because she's one of the commanders at the 355th Civil Engineering Squadron at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. First off, thank you for your service to the Air Force, and welcome to the Morning Voice, Lieutenant Colonel Sarah Bodenheimer.
Hey, thanks so much, Ed. Such a pleasure to be here and represent the installation and 355th Wing on such a special day.
First off, can you give us a little background of how you rose to become a Lieutenant Colonel, your trajectory, and how you became a Lieutenant Colonel in the Air Force?
Yeah, absolutely. So honestly, it takes me back a little bit. I think about, I originally grew up in North Carolina, strong military roots. One of my grandfathers served in the Marines and the other in the Air Force. So it was always military service was always something I respected. And it became really personal. Actually, in 2003, my cousin, who was a Marine, was severely injured in Iraq. At that time, I was just heading into college at North Carolina State University, and I decided to join ROTC. And really, felt really called to serve and be a part of what our nation was facing during the global war on terror. So I commissioned in 2008 as an Air Force civil engineer. And for the past 17 years, which is crazy to think it's been that long, I've had a chance to lead some incredible teams all over the world doing combat deployments, emergency response, major construction, you name it. I've done 4 deployments, 2 in Afghanistan, both 9 months, a year in Iraq, and then recently a year in Kuwait. Each of those deployments teaching me something different about leadership, resilience, and also other countries and nations. And all of that, right, kind of how I got here, I really leave it up to the airmen, right? This Department of Defense and Air Force and engineer community is full of the most committed, capable airmen that you'll ever meet. And so just taking care of them, focused on the people and the purpose, everything else just falls into place. Ed, that's a little bit about me.
How long have you been stationed at Davis-Monthan?
Yeah, so I got to Davis-Monthan last summer around this time in June. I'll tell you, the lure of Davis-Monthan is real. Before I even got here, I knew about a year before I was coming that I was going to be stationed here. I mean, anyone I told that to was like, oh my God, we love Tucson. Tucson's great. You're going to love the community. You're going to love everything there is to do, and you're going to love the base. And I felt that on day one. So even at my change of command ceremony, tons of civic leaders were there, which is really not typical for a squadron level change of command. And so just quite the honor to be a part of it and super pumped to be here. And crazy to think I've been here for a year now and there's still so much I have left to explore around here.
That's great. So what is the mission of the 355th Squadron?
Yes, sir. So I'm glad you brought this up because these folks that are in this squadron are what I'm most proud of. So the 355th Civil Engineer Squadron builds, protects, and sustains the base. You can think of it almost as like Department of Public Works for the city, right? You get running water, power, that stuff. We also do airfield maintenance. We have fire protection, bomb disposal, emergency management, and also environmental oversight. So really, if it affects the base's ability to operate, engineers are probably behind it. We do fall under the 355th wing, and so our core mission, just like the wings, is rescue and attack. Whatever's needed to make those missions happen, we get it done day in and day out. And we're also, it's not just about fixing buildings, right? It's about enabling air power in places where infrastructure is fragile or doesn't even exist yet. So we also have a combat engineering capability where we'll get out, forward deployed into different places and establish air power anywhere. Because as you could imagine, without an airfield, there is no air power. And so engineers are typically first in, last out. And we're very proud of that.
Speaking of airfield, Davis-Monthan is celebrating 100 years in Tucson, starting with the city of Tucson purchasing some land in 1925 and then letting the Air Force use it, followed by that very first airfield in 1927. Can you tell us about the major milestones at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base over the last, say, 100 years?
Absolutely. So yeah, I thought about this a lot, especially, you know, it kind of forced me to dig into this history a bit. Yeah, so the roots go back to 1925 when the land was bought. And the community initiative there really set the tone for the beginning of this next 100 years. Just 2 years later, in 1927, Charles Lindbergh dedicated the airfield. And since then, throughout history, this base and this community has been on the leading edge of all the changes our nation's needed to make to address the current challenges, right? So trained bomber crews in World War II, hosted missile sites during the Cold War, and eventually now, you know, became home to the A-10 Warthog and our critical combat search and rescue missions. So fast forwarding to today, the base is once again evolving, this time to meet the demands of the next future fight. And so recently we've set up the 11th Air Task Force, coupled with the 11th Combat Air Base Squadron. That was a significant shift in how the Air Force is going to present forces and push power forward in the future fight. Lean, agile, mobile, and really ready to get after it. And as you know, we're still building here at the base. This base was selected to be the helm of the future 492nd Special Operations Wing. And I'll say this, that decision says a lot about the strategic value of its installation. I was in DC prior to this, so I was kind of privy to some of these things. I'll tell you, the trust that senior leaders have placed in the mission and the community here is second to none. And that's why you continue to see the installation selected to really lead the change for the Air Force and what's needed for national defense.
Our guest is Lieutenant Colonel Sarah Bodenheimer of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. So Davis-Monthan is noted for the barnyard. So if you've lived in Tucson any length of time, or if you've driven from the airport, you see that large aircraft storage and preservation facility. It's the largest in the world. And all the boneyard is not really under your command, is separate at Davis-Monthan. Why is the boneyard, which is kind of the face of what people see when they're flying into Tucson, they see all those planes. Why is that important to the Air Force and to our community?
Absolutely. So here's what I can say about that. One, it is so cool. There's nothing, it's second to none driving by and seeing the magnitude of air power that exists. Also, the Boneyard is officially called the 309th Aerospace Maintenance and Regeneration Group. The key there, right, is regeneration. And so these aircraft come here to the strategic location. Some of them get pulled for parts to keep fleets flying, while others are regenerated and sent back into service. And so at a strategic level, when we think about some of the challenges we have with our industrial defense base and what may be needed in the future fight, this is the place that we will come to regenerate aircraft as needed. So it's absolutely a strategic asset and one of our most critical 34 mission partners that we support here at DM. A huge role in sustaining the reach of our air power, and super proud to get to see it every day.
It is pretty amazing, and it's big and it's huge. And when you drive around it and see all those planes, as a guy that lived near there, I grew up in Tucson, born and raised, and we used to go out and just sit there and look at the planes. It was kind of an amazing experience as a young kid. Our guest this morning is Lieutenant Colonel Sarah Bodenheimer of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the impact that Davis-Monthan Air Force Base has on the Tucson community and on our region as one of the main bases in the western part of the United States. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is 4th of July, so we're talking about freedom. And one thing in Tucson that we know helps us with our freedom is the wonderful people and the facility of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base celebrating 100 years here in southern Arizona. Our guest is Lieutenant Colonel Sarah Bodenheimer, who is one of the commanders out at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. There are a bunch of other people that work out there, too. There's about 6,000 airmen and 5,000 civilian that support Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. So do most of those people live in Tucson, or do they live on the base, or obviously the civilians would live off base, but how about the airmen? Do they live on base?
Yeah, it's a great question. And something I've seen firsthand as I oversee the dormitories and the very limited housing we have on installation. So the housing we have available on the installation only supports about 30% of the base population. So that means 70% of our airmen and airmen of all types, right? I call our civilians airmen in blue jeans. Our airmen in blue jeans and some can live on base, also live off base right here in the Tucson community. So they're raising families in the community. They're going to school in the local community. They're employed. They're really integrated into the fabric of the city And like I said, people really strive and want to come here because of the opportunity to be a part of the Tucson community. And that's something you can't manufacture, right? That either happens or it doesn't. And I've been stationed all over the country and the world, and I've seen nothing like it is here at Tucson. And so it really makes that difference, right? Tucson, because of how many folks we have that are really reliant on the local community for their day-to-day health and welfare, the support from Tucson strengthens our mission, strengthens our people, and ultimately you guys are the cornerstone of how we get the mission done every day.
That's great. They say that there's about a $3 billion annual contribution to the local economy through salaries and local spending and contracts with businesses and all the things that go into keeping a base working and operational in a big city like this. So between the University of Arizona and Davis Mountain Air Force Base, this really makes a lot of young people are roaming around Tucson, because many of the airmen are young folks when they're stationed here working out on the base. Why is this economic impact so important to Tucson and Southern Arizona?
Absolutely. When you think about it, and when we think about what it means to have national defense, it's a whole of nation approach, right? And so the economic impact is not just the community supporting the installation. It's also about the installation being good stewards and partners with the community, you know, helping bring you know, jobs and families and long-term growth to the region. Because as we've mentioned, Davis Monthan Air Force Base has continued to be a premier platform and location where we want to send like the leading edge changes to air power, right? And that's has a ton to do with what the community, you know, provides. Additionally, the climate of this region, the airspace that's available, the location. And so that impact is absolutely critical to ensure the community knows that we're giving back and that we could not do what we do if we weren't a big economic engine for the local community.
Our guest this morning on this 4th of July is Lieutenant Colonel Sarah Bodenheimer of Davis Monthan Air Force Base. You know, we talk about young people, young airmen who are out at the base working and maybe their first or second deployment in the United States. But we also have a lot of people who, like you have said, have experienced Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and then completed their term. And they decided to stay in Tucson, Arizona, and become an alumnus of the Air Force and become a veteran and live right here in Tucson. And so Tucson has great deepening military community ties. And it's a great place for a lot of people who have been at Davis-Monthan. They might even go away for a couple of years, but then they come back to Tucson because of the weather and the year-round place of a good place to be. So what's your perspective on Tucson in terms of its home for veterans who are maybe once stationed at Davis-Monthan or come here because of our great pride in Davis-Monthan?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, seeing it firsthand, every member that I have met since I've been here that's retiring is staying in the local area. And again, that is unprecedented, not something that I've seen in any other installation. They're drawn, you know, by that connection to the community, the connection to the mission, the weather, and the unbelievable strong community ties that you feel throughout Tucson. It's a heritage that exists in the fabric of the city, and it's really second to none. It's great to see that as well when we put on events like Thunder and Lightning over Arizona, the biannual air show. We bring in tens of thousands of folks from off base to see what air power looks like up close, to inspire future leaders, and it gives us a chance to see and feel just the intense support that we have from the community. And so the pride in the base runs deep on both sides of the gate. And so no surprise that folks are sticking around here. And again, it has a ton to do with the support and the heritage within the community.
Great. Since we're talking about 4th of July and independence, let's talk a little bit about freedom. How does Davis-Monthan Air Force Base help secure our nation's freedom?
Yeah, so from my perspective, the 4th of July, as you know, right, is a reminder of what this country was built on: liberty, democracy, and the idea of freedom. And so for us in uniform, it's not just a celebration, it's a recommitment to the oath we took to defend those freedoms. Here at Davis-Monthan, we do that through close air support, global rescue missions, forward basing operations, and several other strategic missions by our 34 other mission partners, to include AMARGR, the Boneyard, that is the largest in the world and one of the few places where we can regenerate aircraft from. So our airmen are trained to respond anywhere in the world, fast, flexible, ready to execute, even in the most challenging environments. We're not just talking about defending freedom. We train for it. We live it, and we stand ready to deliver when it matters the most. And because of your capable and committed airmen, airmen in blue jeans as well, the civilian corps here on the installation, DM helps secure that nation's freedom. Also, again, like I said before, the community is the cornerstone of that support when it enables us to get after the mission.
I think the recent developments in the Middle East and so forth, and seeing the Air Force in action, really, I think, demonstrated to the world the power of the United States Air Force and what they can do strategically and tactically, and do a great job. And certainly Davis-Monthan is part of that process of defending our nation and setting forth the good things about freedom, you know, which is responsibility and having the rest of the world kind of adhere to the norms of democracy and freedom for all people. So very cool. As you think about your time here at Davis-Monthan, and of course your time will come to an end at some point, and you'll either move on to another place or go to the Pentagon and become a general or whatever what will happen in your own personal life. What are your thoughts on Tucson and your memories here of the Tucson's economy, its identity, its community, and how do the folks at Davis-Monthan interact with Tucson in such a way that they feel like they're part of the Tucson community?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it kind of aligns with what the 355th Wing's priorities have been, which are fit, fight, family, connected, protected, and respected. And when you think about that connection to the community and how we all feel a part of it and feel so welcomed, I think that is something I reflect on. Like I said, from day one, I could feel it, even before day one, right before I got here. And now what I see what it's all about, whether it's the memories I've built, doing all the exciting things that are available to do in the local community, or feeling supported in times that were pretty tough and when we needed support from the Red Cross or other things, and knowing that if we say we need something, that there's not a second question about who can provide it or who's ready. You almost have to turn down support because it's so readily available. It is tough to serve in the military. It's especially tough for some of our younger folks who this may be their first duty station. And feeling that connectedness, I think, is something that makes them feel proud and love the community for what they do and proud to serve.
That's great. So I have a little challenging question for you, and that is, we're talking about freedom, and we normally talk about success on this hour of the show, but because we're focused on July 4th and independence and freedom, last question is, what does freedom mean to you?
Yeah, so obviously as a military member, something I thought a lot about. Freedom to me means having the ability to live life on your own terms. You know, what you say, what you believe, how you show up, and who you choose to become. And us all being in the community and being able to cohabitate and be allowed to do that. Real freedom, though, isn't just about enjoying those rights. It's being willing to stand up and protect them for others. And when I felt called to serve early on in my life, really felt that need to be a part of the fight and protect what it is that America stands for. And so wearing the uniform's never been about rank or recognition. It's been about what you mentioned earlier about responsibility. So every time we step into work, we're defending something bigger than ourselves. Every time the Tucson community supports this installation, they are supporting something bigger than themselves. So on the 4th of July, that responsibility really hits a lot deeper, not just about the fireworks, but about recommitting to the values that define this country and doing it as a team with the Tucson community.
That's great. Commander Mike Spencer, Colonel Mike Spencer, when he was at Davis-Monthan, he always said that if you see somebody at a restaurant or at a store or someplace in town, walk up to them and say thank you for their service. And so ever since he told me to do that, I tended to walk up to people in uniform from Davis-Monthan and say, hey, thank you for your service and keeping us free. So thank you very much for your service and what you do. That's Lieutenant Colonel Sarah Bodenheimer, commander of the 355th Civil Engineering Squadron at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. Happy 4th of July to you, Sarah, and thank you for, I guess I should call you Bodie, right? And thank you for coming on The Morning Voice. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, and thanks so much for the support. Honored to be here, and happy 4th of July.
Great. Coming up, we'll talk about some other things that have to do with 4th of July. We'll talk about Arizona Diamondbacks baseball, and we'll also talk about fireworks on A Mountain later tonight. So you're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. And again, Sarah, thank you for being here, and thank you for your service to the United States of America, and specifically to all the wonderful people who live here in Tucson. And happy 4th of July to you.
Thanks, Ed.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. My name is Dr. Ed Ackerley. I am the host. Well, it's 4th of July, we know that, and nothing says Independence Day like hot dogs and baseball. Our guest for this segment is Kenny Farrell. He's the Vice President of Marketing and Analytics with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Thank you for joining us on this 4th of July holiday. You've got some big games coming up this weekend with the Kansas City team at Chase Field. Before we talk baseball, give us a little background. You've been with the Arizona Diamondbacks for a long time, haven't you?
I have. Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to be here today. I happened to start my career with the Arizona Diamondbacks right out of, and sorry for your viewers here, but right out of Arizona State University. Graduated just before the baseball team came to town, and really just started with a part-time job here at the Diamondbacks, and didn't expect it to be a long-time career, but through some luck and some timing and some hard work, find myself still here 27 years later, enjoying the life in sports and enjoying the ups and downs of every season and enjoying trying to put a product on the field that fans are excited to come out and enjoy each and every week.
You've had some tough seasons, but you had some really wonderful seasons, division titles, 5 or 6 years of those. You had a pennant last trip to the World Series was in 2023, but we did have a World Series title win in 2001, defeating the Yankees. So there's been some pretty exciting things happening with the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I mean, we have a saying that we like to use, which is find a way to win even when you lose. And, you know, the basis of that is, you know, you come to the game tonight. I can't tell you whether we're going to win or lose tonight, but hopefully everybody has a great time, enjoys himself. And so certainly we don't enjoy the long losing seasons. And it's been great these last few years to have a really competitive team on the field, obviously, with the World Series run in 2023. And winning is important to what we do and important to fans' connection. But at the same time, we just try to control what we can control and ensure that fan experience is always at the highest level, even if the team's not, you know, on the top of their game that day.
Yeah, just being in Chase Field and walking around and seeing the excitement that's happening on the concourse and other places, as well as on the field. And then, of course, the play that the team has, you know, they're chaos. They like to run. They like to hit it out of the park. They like to lovingly they come back when the Diamondbacks get down. They come back and try to win every game. They're a great fan experience. So
yeah, the answer backs. The great part with 2023 is many of us remember 2001, but many of the younger folks don't. You know, for those under 30, that was really a generational opportunity. And what was great about it was not just the fact that we got all the way to the World Series, but that core team is going to be with us for so many years. And, you know, so to have that opportunity to connect with these guys over 5, 8, 10 years really strengthens that connection to the fan base and gives us an opportunity to win in addition all these years, but really a generational moment for us.
Right. And you have good ownership and front office leadership. Ken Kendrick is the owner, President Derek Hall. And of course, Torrey Lovello, who is the manager of the team. He's been there quite a while now, hasn't he?
For sure. I think he might be the longest tenured manager. I'm pretty sure he is. Right. Coming out in 2017. So yeah, everybody has their role to do. Ken does a great job as an owner, continuing to try to put the resources behind the team to give us the best chances to win. And both he and Derek are also very focused on the community and how we can give back and make sure that we're leaders and pillars within the organization. So, and Torrey obviously managing the on-field organization and Mike Hazen doing a great job trying to put the roster together each and every year.
Right. Well, there's been some great excitement this season with, Eugenio Suarez getting his 300th home run and being in that elite group of people that have hit 300 home runs. And of course, Ketel Marte, he's probably will be in the All-Star, we hope. Keep your fingers crossed. You never know. And he's been doing great. And then even the other infielders, Josh Naylor and Geraldo Perdomo, they're doing great as well. It just seems like the team is gelling at the right time in the summer here as they lead into the fall for the playoffs. So what's your sense of this team? You've seen them all. So how is this team
Certainly.
To the other teams?
Yeah, I mean, my take is much like a fan's take, which is just we kind of live and die through the day-to-day. But we've seen this continue to happen where, you know, any season isn't going to be all good. We're going to have different runs and different ups and downs. And so a few bumps in the road, but we've had this history of coming together in June, July, or August, and really putting ourselves in a position to be a postseason team and make a good run at it. So we feel like we're set up for that this year. Definitely hasn't all gone our way. Some injuries have definitely kind of really put some big bumps in the road, but those become opportunities for other players to step up. And, you know, when a starting pitcher like Ryan Nelson shows what he can do, getting the opportunity to hit the mound every fifth day, you know, it still hurts to not have a Corbin Burnes out there all the time, but it's great to see Ryan really do what he can do out there.
It is amazing how many injuries you've had and how you've come back as a team to even Cattell was out for a couple of weeks and some of the other players in the outfield. But that does give some other younger players an opportunity to come and show what they have. It's been exciting to see the baby backs come in and do their thing and really bring the team along with enthusiasm. And they're just so great on the field. It's kind of fun to watch those young guys play.
Yeah, and there's a resilience I think this team continues to show. And, you know, again, for us as fans, sometimes it's hard to watch us not win a game when you think you're going to win one, but then to see them bounce back and, you know, win three or four in a row and show that resiliency. I think that's what really makes a winning team. And it's what we've been doing the last few years is grinding through the bumps and trying to find our way to just really put the winning streaks together.
I have to admire you. You know, this is about the Morning Voice is about Tucson and in Southern Arizona. And you have done a great job as an organization and including Tucson and Southern Arizona in the marketing, as well as in just calling it, it's Arizona's team. It's not the Phoenix Diamondbacks, it's Arizona's team. And talk a little bit about that. If you're right from the get-go, you wanted it to be a full statewide approach to baseball.
Yeah, I think that's always been part of who we are as the Arizona Diamondbacks. I think a really good example was this year we were able to launch our second version of our Nike City Connect uniforms and be very popularly bringing back the purple and teal with our Serpientis word mark. But a couple of the key features in that look and feel was Arizona born on the inside collar and a very cool State 48 patch that highlights the 98 that the franchise started in the 48 of the state, as well as the Arizona flag patch on the sleeve. So the state is represented three different times in that jersey in a way that we want people to know very outwardly when they look at us that we are the Arizona Diamondbacks and that we represent the entire state.
That's great. You've had some great players over the years. Of course, the 2001 team in total was a great team, but it's great to have some of them still with you. Josh Colemanter is doing some broadcasts for you. There's other people like Randy Johnson that hang around from time to time. And our good friend Luis Gonzalez has been in the front office for quite a while, and he's doing some broadcasts in the summertime for away games. But it's good to have that history being built right here in Arizona with some of those players that were really positive for the team, but they're sticking around and hanging with the team after they leave the field.
Absolutely. We got Brandon Webb that does our pre and post game shows. We've seen Miggy Montero lately. Mark Grace, of course. Miggy Montero's been down in the dugout helping the catchers lately. So yeah, that tradition is great. I think, you know, we want to be a place where players want to play, and then ultimately where players want to be a part of this organization for a long time. And, you know, again, those connections to the history and those moments that we all celebrate together, those are what really kind of bind us. And to see those players still here and a part of the franchise, Gonzo in the office pretty much every day, believe it or not. And, you know, Randy Johnson bringing out his personality and his photography and his retirement and still very much a part of the team every day.
Well, let's talk some baseball after the break. We'll talk about the game tonight with Kansas City. And this weekend, we have fireworks and all sorts of fun, wonderful things going on for 4th of July weekend. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KBOI 1030 AM. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. With us is Kenny Farrell. He's the Vice President of Marketing and Analytics for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And of course, this is a big baseball weekend, July 4th weekend. We got great game tonight and all through the weekend. Let's talk a little bit about the fireworks spectacular coming up tonight again on July 4th, and then what's going on this weekend. So tell us about what's happening at the ballpark tonight, July 4th.
Yeah, we keep things rolling with the Kansas City Royals coming into town this weekend. Very exciting young team as well coming in to play on the field. And then after the game tonight, we're going to open up the roof and have our big 4th of July fireworks spectacular. We make it a bigger, better, more patriotic show when we do the 4th of July. What better way than to celebrate than coming and join some D-backs baseball, enjoying the indoor air conditioning rather than sitting out in a hot, sweaty park. and coming and seeing what I think is the best show in the state. We're able to kind of put the show to music and really enjoy it together and see it with the crowd. And hopefully all after celebrating a D-backs win tonight.
And if, like you said before, even if the D-backs don't win tonight, it's going to be exciting anyways, and it's a great place to spend 4th of July. And then, of course, if you hang around afterwards, it's free, and then you get to watch the fireworks. And that's a really neat thing for families to do as a group and go up there or bring some friends and come up from Tucson and spend a day at the ballpark. Hey, you might as well stay for the next day, too, Saturday night. There's some T-shirts that will be given away, right?
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon, actually. We're going to be at 1:10 on Saturday, so we're going to give a cool patriotic tea. You know, we like to make sure fans have options, right? Somebody might have plans tonight or have their own kind of neighborhood or family traditions. And so if the 4th doesn't work for you, come up on the 5th. Again, enjoy a great game against the Royals and then take home first 20,000, take home a really cool custom patriotic tea.
You got a couple of food specials tonight, the apple pie nachos and the firecracker dog. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, the apple pie nachos have become a tradition here. Very, very popular. You'll find those at the Churro Dog HQ, right near the main entry, near Gate E in the team shop. Cinnamon sugar, flour tortilla chips, vanilla frozen yogurt, warm apple pie filling, whipped cream with a bourbon caramel sauce.
Oh my goodness.
So those are great. They're all limited time, so kind of come in early. They're available both days, tonight and tomorrow, so you can get it throughout the weekend. And then the firecracker dog, those are at a big dog stand, which will have also a custom Kansas City dog for the weekend. Footlong bacon wrapped hot dog, queso bravo, flaming hot Cheetos, green onions. So lots going on with the special footlong hot dog. Great for sharing, and check those out to celebrate the weekend as well.
I can't think of a better way of spending some time as eating a hot dog on 4th of July. That's a pretty good tradition, and have that be pretty powerful. You've got some other things coming up later on in the summer. You've got the Cattell Marte bobblehead night. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've got a couple of great bobble coming up. So later this month, when the St. Louis Cardinals come to town, it'll be Saturday, July 19th. We're doing a Cattell Marte bobblehead. Super cool pose. He's got a great fielding feature. Just a really good look for Cattell. He's just been such an awesome player for us for so long and continuing to be an all-star second baseman again this year. I mean, clearly he's really about the best second baseman in all of baseball. So looking forward to celebrating him with another cool bobble this year. And then a really cool Corbin.
Kind of cool. It's kind of cool too. The bobble features the teal and the purple as well as the Sedona red. It's got the teal and purple on his glove and on his shoes. It's really a cool bobblehead.
Yeah. Yep. He wears that stuff every day. Even before we launched our City Connect, those guys have been loving the purple. So we let him embrace it because that's part of our history and part of who we are. So love to see those little features come out in the details. The Corbin Carroll is going to be on Saturday, August 8th. That's our Star Wars bobble. So we're making him into a rebel pilot this year. So just a little way to have some fun. Star Wars has been a great brand to work with for a long time. They let us have a lot of fun with the players and kind of put them into different poses. So that's always a really popular one.
So one of the neat things that you do too is you really embrace the Hispanic heritage, and coming up in August, there's going to be the Hispanic Heritage Weekend. Of course, across all of Major League Baseball, they embrace that. Obviously, a lot of the players are from South America, from Cuba, from other places, and they a lot of them speak Spanish as their first language. But the whole idea of having a cultural connection through baseball is a pretty powerful thing for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, thank you for bringing up the diversity within the players. I think that's one thing we've really recognized is we, you know, in Arizona often think about Mexican American as our primary kind of Latin population here, but truly our population and the players are very diverse in terms of, you know, Cuban and Dominican and Venezuelan and Colombian and Puerto Rican. And so Hispanic Heritage Weekend, when we take on the Reds later in August, the weekend of the 23rd, is a chance for us to kind of try to show off that diversity of culture and try to show off the many regions of Central America, South America, and the Caribbean, where baseball is a big hotbed and a big part of what our game is about, and a good chance to kind of have some fun, bring some music, bring some fun food, bring some dance, bring some entertainment into the ballpark, and kind of have a great weekend around all of that.
One of the kudos to you and your team. One of the things you've been rated as one of the most affordable ballparks for families over the last 16 years, actually. And so a family can go up there and buy some tickets and enjoy a hot dog and some popcorn and peanuts and a Pepsi and actually not break the bank and still have a great top level, top shelf experience. So talk a little bit about the value that a family would have if they ran up there for the game tonight or tomorrow or over the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's an obligation we have as a baseball team. And, you know, with 81 games in a big park, we can kind of be everyone for everybody. And so affordability and catering to like the larger market is really important to us. So whether it be ticket prices or specials, you know, mostly ticket prices tend to come in like a $30, $40 range, which is relatively affordable for live events. And then, you know, from a food and a beverage standpoint, we have value items for $2.99 a piece. So you can get the hot dog or the popcorn or the Pepsi. Or the peanut for $2.99, and then even a $4.99 beer. So just making sure it's easy for everybody and consumable for everybody. And you can kind of pick your own path. You want to get a great seat right behind the dugout? No problem. If you want to get, you know, a more affordable location on the upper level, we've got that for you. And to make that easy for everybody to come and find those items and make sure they can have an affordable, fun night at the ballpark.
So this is 4th of July, and I've been asking all the guests, we'll ask all the guests today what their definition is or what freedom means to them. And of course, our country is blessed to have baseball be representative of the American spirit and of the good things that are going on in our world, in the face of a lot of challenges that we have as a time and place and environment that we're in right now. So since we are on 4th of July, what does freedom mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, great question. I mean, I think that, you know, the presence of baseball, not that that's what it's all about, but the opportunity to gather as a community, to come together and to celebrate our moments together, and to feel that freedom and the safety that the military provides us by providing us an environment where we can come out and go and enjoy and do what we want and gather together and go watch a fireworks show, whether it be at Chase Field or your local park or in your backyard. That freedom to kind of really do what you want and be able to be out in the community, I think, is what freedom's really all about.
That's great. So we encourage everybody to come tonight. What time does the game start tonight on July 4th?
6:40. If you happen to come a little late, no worries, because we'll probably get fireworks going around 9 or 9:30 tonight. But 6:40 is first pitch.
And the game tomorrow, so you said 1:30 tomorrow?
1:10 tomorrow.
1:10 tomorrow. So, and then that's a good time because it'll be the roof will be closed and it'll be cool inside. It'll be hot everywhere else in the state, but it'll be cool in Chase Field. So that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
So the fireworks following tonight's game, and then of course all of the specials, and then tomorrow they can pick up. If their first 20,000 people get to pick up one of those patriotic tees and so forth. So it's been a long journey for you, 27 years, almost three decades now that you've been doing this. I'm sure you have some pretty special memories of the Diamondbacks. What's one? I have one of Gonzo hitting that hit in the World Series. To me, that just was the epitome of who the Diamondbacks are. And of course, Randy Johnson's games where he was just phenomenal a couple of times. Well, all the time he pitched, it seemed like he was phenomenal. But what are some a memory that you might have in your years there that is just really special to your engagement with the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, I mean, all the ones you mentioned are certainly important to all of us. But, you know, 2023, what was really amazing about it is just such an unexpected run. And we had the ability to be with the team when we clinched the World Series berth in Philadelphia and then went right on to Texas, where we split the World Series and came home 1-1. When we came home and saw the city transformed, having gelled, having everybody really like, you know, really come out to support us was just such an amazing thing to see. It just had really changed the way everybody was looking at the team and the way it brought everybody together. And that, as I mentioned, that togetherness and that shared experience is really the best part of everything that I do here. So to see that come together in 2023 is definitely near the top of the list.
And we hope we get something similar to that in 2025 and in October that we're still playing ball and the team is doing great. It's been just an exciting year to watch them, and it's great. And I hope to be up there this weekend for either the game tomorrow or even tonight, if I can get up there. I just love the Diamondbacks and love what you guys are doing. And you're doing a good thing for the state of Arizona, something positive to hang our hats on.
Well, thank you very much. It was great to be here today.
Okay. Thank you, Kenny Farrell, Vice President, Marketing and Analytics for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And make sure you go to the games this weekend with the spectacular fireworks tonight after the game with Kansas City. Tomorrow, Patriotic Tees will be given out for the first 20,000 fans. And then go on to the air-conditioned Chase Field and cheer on our Arizona Diamondbacks. Thank you for listening to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Ed Ackerley. We'll be back with the second half of Friday's show on this great 4th of July with some good things going on at the University of Arizona. And we call that wonder, the great things that are happening at the U of A that affect us and our freedoms as well. Thank you for listening. We'll be back after the break. Happy 4th of July. It's the 249th birthday of America. So happy birthday to all you Americans. Welcome to The Morning Voice, and I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. On Fridays, we talk about the good things happening at the University of Arizona, and we call it Wonder, sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union. Our guest this morning is Nick Letson. He is the Manager of Marketing Communications at Flandreau Planetarium. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're always got your eyes to the stars, don't you? It's a big universe out there. Yeah.
Yes, we do. Yeah. In the middle of the day, even I can peek in and look at the stars, which is real nice in the summer.
That's pretty cool. Tell us a little bit about you, Nick Letson, and your educational professional journey and how you landed at the Flandreau Planetarium on the campus of the University of Arizona.
Sure. Well, I am a Wildcat alum. I went to journalism school here. And then after that, I got more into the communications marketing side of the field. Worked at Sonoran Glass School, which is a nonprofit art school here in Tucson. Then moved to communications at the University Analytics and Institutional Research at the University of Arizona. So those two things together kind of primed me for this job at the Flanders Science Center and Planetarium. And beyond that, I've just always been a huge fan of the planetarium. It's sort of been there throughout my life as a young kid going on field trips, as a high school student, maybe taking a date to the star show at night. And then now, you know, as a father, taking my kids here nowadays, and just enjoying all the things we have to explore.
That's great. Well, Flandreau's been an important part of the Tucson and the campus for 50 years, coming up on 50 years here. So it was started in by the Board of Regents making a commitment and then construction beginning in 74. But you started in 75, so you're coming up on a 50-year celebration, correct?
That's right. December 13th will be our 50th, official 50th birthday, if you will. But we're going to take these next 5 months, July through December, to really start celebrating that with different specials, sort of micro events, and different things to celebrate 50 years of science community education in Tucson.
That's great. So for those people who've never been inside the planetarium, could you just give us a little visual description through words of what they would see and what the big dome is and what they would experience if they walked through the doors of the Grace H. Flandreau Planetarium at the U of A?
Sure. So when you walk in, you get your ticket, and then you're going to hand your ticket to our planetarium operator. So you go through a big set of double doors, and you're going to go up a ramp, and then you'll look up, and there's a big dome above you. So this theater, it's called a flat dome theater. There's actually a few different types of planetariums. The flat dome theaters emulate the night sky exactly as you would see it outside. So it's 360 degrees above you, and you can look behind you even. You can look right up top and in front, obviously. And so you're surrounded by a hemisphere of a sky. And then we can manipulate that. We can simulate the night sky. We can go to different dates in the night sky. And now with the new technology, we can go to different planets. We can do full dome films. So the whole film fills up the theater dome. And our live star talks are still some of our most popular, you know, the tried and true astronomy, dark sky, night stocks, talks are really great. So basically you get to see the skies above you and you get to see the constellations etched out. So you can actually see, you know, the characters and drawings that go along with the different star points. So it's really fun way to manipulate the sky and to show people aspects of the science of astronomy that aren't immediately visible with the naked eye.
We're talking to Nick Letson, who's the Manager of Marketing and Communications at Flandreau Planetarium on the U of A campus. When you come out of this show or before you go in, there's also quite a few displays and other things that you can experience as you walk through the planetarium, right?
That's correct. Yeah. So we're a science center and planetarium. And so the science center part of that for us means two floors of science exhibits. Currently, that's Universe of Science, which speaking today on our University of Arizona themed, that's our newest exhibit. And that features actually U of A research, as well as ways that We can see how science plays a role in our everyday lives. We also see major projects that the U of A has been involved with, including the James Webb Space Telescope, which is basically an observatory that's in space right now, taking amazing photos of the universe and distant galaxies. And we played a large part in the camera technology that went into that. You can also learn about the Sky Islands there. So it all ties into U of A research. So that's a really fun. And of course, there's hands-on activities for kids in there as well to get them engaged. So yeah, there's six different exhibits right now. We're working on a brand new astronomy exhibit as well, that will be ready in time for our 50th anniversary. Beyond that, we have a insects exhibit, and we have a marine biology. Our whole lower level is marine science, including our undersea discovery exhibit, which has over 32 species of tropical fish. There's actually a small aquarium down there and a touch tank for the public.
You talked a little bit about taking a date in high school to the laser light shows at the Flandreau, and of course, I'm part of that. Many of us went down there during the 70s and 80s to experience that. You've got something special coming up this afternoon between 12:30 and 1. It's called the July 4th Laser Movie Magic, and tell us a little bit about what favorite songs will be playing and what the laser light show will be.
Sure thing. So, as you alluded to, we have our popular laser light music nights, popular for date nights. And those have been great, and those are still going on. But there was also a need for some families who maybe don't want to be up late at night. They still want to go to shows with their kids. We decided to do daytime laser shows. And what better than Independence Day? People have the day off. They're looking to do something special and fun and unique. So we're actually going to have three laser shows that day. The first one is called Laser Movie Magic, and that is basically a set list of family favorites of from the movies, actually, mostly Disney movies, including Moana, Lion King, Encanto, Frozen. So that one really great for families. That's the first one up at 12:30.
That starts in about 3.5, 4 hours here, so.
And then at 1:30, we have Laser Taylor Swift, which has also been a big hit with kids that are a little older. Well, kids of all ages, really, but definitely that sweet spot of preteen and teenagers. And that's at 1:30. And then at 3 p.m., we have Laser Eye Pop, which is going to be a little bit of a throwback for some younger parents because it features hits basically that would have come out of your iPod, in the 2010, Selena Gomez, Justin Bieber, but also some classics like some Jackson 5 in there as well. So that's kind of a fun mixtape of a show at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, the temperature today is going to be 167 degrees or whatever they're saying it's going to be hot today. Great place to go in the midday to kind of get out of the sun and enjoy a family outing and do something unique and different that you will remember for quite some time. When we come back after the break, I'd like to talk a little bit about we'll talk a little bit about some of the protocol of parking and tickets and how you get to the planetarium, and we'll talk a little bit about its effect on the economy, the tourism industry, all the things that are important with a campus like the University of Arizona to have a world-class planetarium right in the middle of everything. So we'll come back and talk about that. We're talking to Nick Letson, who is the manager and marketing of communications at Flandreau Planetarium on the campus of the University of Arizona. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. Happy 4th of July. We'll be back right after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder, stories about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Now, the Wonder segment is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union. Our guest for Wonder is Nick Letson, who is the Marketing Communications Manager at Flandreau Planetarium on the campus of the University of Arizona. Good morning again, Nick.
Good morning.
And happy 249th birthday to you and all Americans on this July 4th. We were talking about the July 4th laser movie magic. The Flandreau opens in a little bit, and people can go and see some of the exhibits as they explore around, and then they can go to one of the three shows that'll be on today. But what are ticket prices? What does it cost to get into the planetarium? And then we'll talk a little bit about parking as well.
Sure. Well, I guess I'll start with the 4th of July shows because those are $21. But they include science exhibit access. So you get to visit all of our science exhibits
Right.
before or after your show.
Can make an afternoon or a day of it.
That's right.
Take the kids and be there inside in the cool air for a couple of hours. Yeah.
Inside indoor adventures for sure in science. And then for a regular show, Tuesday through Sunday, we're open 10 to 5. If you just want to do exhibits, it's 15 for adults, 11 for kids, with discounts for seniors, military, college ID. And then if you're a Flandreau member, there's also free admission or $5 shows. So the prizes kind of run the gamut there. And then if you want to do both a planetarium show and exhibits, it's about $25 for adults and $20 for kids.
Great. And you can make an evening of it or a day of it, depending on when the show is, and have a great experience. If you haven't done it lately, it's really a fun thing to do. Parking is always a concern, especially for some of our listeners. On 4th of July, it's not a problem because there's no parking restrictions on the 4th of July because it's a holiday. But on a regular weekend day, again, just follow the signs. But it's fairly convenient. There's a parking garage fairly close, so people can get access to the planetarium, right?
And the parking garage is a good resource for covered parking this time of year, which is nice.
And that's just to the south between the stadium and on University and Cherry, basically.
That's the Cherry Avenue garage, just south of Flandreau. So it's a 1 to 2 minute walk. And then I'm glad you have me on today because this is always a parking is always a big issue and one we get a lot of questions about. And I want to let it be known loud and clear that we do have, however limited, free parking at Flandreau for people who are visiting us. And that is on the north side of our building on a street called Hawthorne. You'll see a bright yellow curb. That is where you can park and come inside, and we'll give you a parking pass for your dashboard. And you can park for free at Flandreau while you visit us.
That's great. That's good to know. And there's a couple of handicap spots right there in the parking lot too, if people need those, correct?
Yes, yeah, we do have handicap parking.
Just north of the camp of the building. Well, that's great. And so today, big shows and so forth. But let's also talk a little bit about what Flandreau is known for. You kind of alluded to it. A lot of school trips, group events, private events, and birthday parties have been celebrated at Flandreau over the years. It's a great place to do something unique and special for a group, is it not?
It is, yeah. They kind of run the gamut. You'd be surprised at the kinds of things that we have going on here sometimes. We actually had a winter formal with one of the sororities down the street about a year ago, and that was interesting. They brought in a DJ and balloons and things like that. We've had proposals in the planetarium as well. People have contacted us to, at the end of the show, after the stars go up, they have a special message and they propose in front of everyone, and that's fun.
That's great.
Cocktail receptions. Those are some of the bigger events, bigger private events. On the, medium-sized side, we have birthday parties, which are great. You get your own party room. They're themed. We have a galaxy room, an insect room, and a dinosaur room. And you have your own refrigerator, your tables, you have your private party room, and then kids can go explore the exhibits. You get preferred planet seating for a planetarium show. So that's been a fun way that people have been able to interact with our exhibits from a birthday party perspective, especially if they have a kid who's really into science. It's really fun to see. Those are the kind of, and then field trips, of course.
Huge, yeah. Many schools take advantage of the field trips every year, yeah.
Lately, it's been sort of record-breaking as well. And part of the reason for that is we spend a lot of time fundraising to get free field trips for kids from Title I schools in Tucson down here. And so obviously that takes away some of the barriers for some schools that maybe can't afford a field trip to be able to come here for free, visit our science exhibits, see an awesome planetarium show. And so, yeah, we've been booked, booked solid for a while. But we do we're opening up for this next fall pretty soon here, so we'll get going. I get on field trips.
That'll be great. Well, the Flandreau Planetarium has been a great institution for 50 years here and at the U of A, but also in the community. And many of us who've lived here all of our lives have visited often over the years. I asked the question, why a planetarium and what is its usefulness in our community? And some of the things that came to mind were inspiring wonder and curiosity. And I thought you kind of mentioned that when you said, if you have a young kid that's interested in science, what a great way to introduce them to some of the great ideas of what the universe is all about, but also earth sciences and marine biology and other things. So it's a great launching pad for young people to come and hear about the world that we live in and the universe that we live in.
Yeah, and that's part of our mission currently is to inspire future scientists. And I think some of the impetus in the 70s was not only that, but also that we're sort of sitting in the seat of a lot of astronomy, observatories, research between Kitt Peak and the Kuiper building next door to me, and our the role that the University of Arizona played in mapping the moon so that we could successfully land on the moon. We've had a long history of highly visible astronomy projects here in Tucson, and especially at the University of Arizona. So in the 70s, they really wanted a place to highlight that. To be more of a public-facing vehicle for people to actually experience it through the planetarium and through science exhibits. So that's kind of that was the seed that got us going in the 70s, and that through line still continues today.
This is the Wonder Series. I ask each of our Wonder guests this question. And so I'm going to ask you this question. Wonder is where we celebrate the good things going on at the university. Lots of things going on, but we like to highlight the things that are really powerful and meaningful. What's one thing at the U of A that you think is full of wonder?
Well, if I'm super biased because I work at Flandreau Planetarium, well, I love walking through the campus every day. I love the opportunities that we give our students here. We have a lot of student workers at Flandreau. I think that's probably the thing that I can point to that most signifies wonder. Just unlocking the door to somebody to be able to run a planetarium show and practice science communication skills to learn about astronomy. And the thing about that is, it's not only helpful for them, it's helpful for the community to learn about it also. And I do want to mention something special about Flandreau Planetarium that only 9% of American universities have planetariums. And then a smaller subset of those are teach classes to the students and also have public performances or presentations. So we do both. During the day, during the school year, we have astronomy B170 with professors teaching using the planetarium as a classroom. Then later that afternoon, we have Big Bird's One Sky with second graders. So we're able to utilize it in the fullest extent of its possibilities. And I think that inspires me every day.
That's great. That's great. Well, a great topic on July 4th to talk about someplace cool to get away and to contemplate the universe. I encourage people to stop by the Flandreau Planetarium this afternoon, starting at noon, for some great shows and see some great exhibits. Our special thanks to our guest for Wonder, Nick Letson, Marketing and Communications Manager at Flandreau Planetarium, located on the campus of University of Arizona at University Boulevard and Cherry, just a little bit north of the Arizona Football Stadium. Happy Independence Day to everyone. We'll be back after the break with the second half of Wonder, sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant and Hughes Federal Credit Union. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. Welcome to The Morning Voice, and I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. On Fridays, we talk about the good things happening in our community, including the University of Arizona. And at the U of A, we call it Wonder, and that's sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th and Hughes Federal Credit Union. Our guests for this segment are Andy Squire from the City of Tucson City Manager's Office and Barrett Baker from the Tucson Fire Department. Well, you can't have 4th of July without fireworks. And so the city of Tucson will have a fireworks display. Andy, could you tell us a little bit about what's going on tonight in terms of the annual 4th of July fireworks celebration?
Absolutely, Ed. Thank you for having us, and thanks for this opportunity to share this information. So, the 4th of July, 28th annual fireworks celebration at A Mountain, 28 years, sponsored once again, I believe over the past 5 years now, sponsored by Desert Diamond Casinos. We deeply appreciate their sponsorship. The fireworks cost roughly, the show itself runs about $30,000. In previous years, the change in the economy and some of the tariffs that have been in place added some cost to fireworks, so it's gone up to about 32,000. Not terrible, but we deeply appreciate their sponsorship. And it will be happening tonight. It begins at 9 o'clock. That's when the fireworks will be launched from A Mountain, weather permitting. I will caveat that. Weather permitting, the fireworks will be launched at 9. And folks can attend the show. One of the best places to watch it at is from the Tucson Convention Center B lot, that lot, big lot on the west side of the TCC. That lot will open up at 7 p.m. and it's free. So we encourage folks to get down there. They'll be able to start accessing the lot at 7 p.m. There will be food trucks on site. I don't have a full menu of those trucks tonight, but we'll make sure to have that up on our webpage within the next few hours to make sure that's up there and out for people so they know what to expect. But they're welcome to come, park their vehicles, sit outside, watch those fireworks as they go off, and then head out. There will be additional parking, Ed, at the free parking at the City State Garage. That opens up for free at 6 p.m. and folks are welcome to watch the show from the City State Garage. They can get out there on that level. We do ask that anybody parking in those garages, whether it be the TCC garages for parking, the A lot and C lot garage, or that City State Garage, they are not to tailgate in that garage. We can't have barbecues and those kind of things going on in the garage. That could make things a bit of a headache for Barrett and the Tucson Fire Team. So we want to make sure we keep it as safe as possible, but still have a great time out there.
And the Tucson Convention Center parking lot, are they allowed to bring chairs and ice chests and things like that to sit there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That location is perfectly fine for that kind of tailgating activity to really enjoy their time together. We do ask, it's always smart that folks think about being good to their neighbors, being good to the folks around them, and maybe bring their own garbage bag to kind of take some of their garbage with them when they go. This is especially true, Ed. We have a huge tradition in our community, and this has been ongoing for a long time, being launched from A Mountain, where folks park in the areas all around A Mountain, largely from Greasewood, Star Pass, the I-10 frontage road, the core of the downtown, down to about St. Mary's. And those neighborhoods sometimes get really inundated with garbage and debris after the show. So if people can remember, it's a little bit like going into the National Forest. Only take in what you can take back out with you. It helps a lot. We will have additional garbage cans placed in the area by our environmental services team, but it's better to be a good neighbor and really step up. We're great neighbors in Tucson. Just take care of the stuff you bring in.
That's Andy Squire from the City of Tucson City Manager's Office, and then Barrett Bakers from the Tucson Fire Department. Barrett, could you share with us a little bit of how the Tucson Fire Department has prepared Sentinel Peak for the fireworks tonight?
Sure. We've got a good playbook that we've had in place for several years, and then you're always looking to be better the next year. So the tweaks that we put in place, we've got great partners with Tucson Water, and we go down prior to and really douse the side of the mountain. You can imagine the challenges that we face, though, again, with a 9 o'clock kickoff and the fact that you are truly on a mountain. So if there are any brush fires that, due to a hot spot here and there, access is always going to be challenging. So we try to wet things down as much as possible beforehand. We hope that Mother Nature will also come in a little bit earlier and give us a little monsoon, wet things down for us, because the dry conditions are obviously the challenges that we face. We also throw a lot of resources at it. So in regards to putting several units up on the mountain, we've got brush trucks that are strategically placed on the top. We've got units on the bottom. And then technology is such a blessing today in regards to the drone program. So we're able to fly a drone live during the actual show. And again, using thermal imaging, if we're able to see any hot spots where something did start a small brush fire, the quicker we can get our resources to that brush fire, we keep small, small before small gets big.
That's great. And speaking of transportation and getting there, Andy, the Sunlink will be available too, correct? So is that an opportunity? Can they, I don't know the answer to this, so that's why I'm asking you, can people bring like a lawn chair and bring it onto the Sunlink if they wanted to go down and sit somewhere?
Absolutely. You can bring an ice chest and a lawn chair onto Sunlink if you're traveling with your family. It's a great way, Ed, to not park in the core, because obviously traffic, people kind of trickle in for the show. But once the show's over, everybody wants to leave at the same time, which is always a big challenge and a logistical challenge. Huge thanks to our Tucson Police Department, who manages that traffic flow with us, and our Department of Transportation, who puts out that signage. So yes, we truly encourage people to use Sunlink to get down there. Sunlink, and the cool part about that is, Ed, as you know, being so familiar and working at the University of Arizona and being a part of that, you can park anywhere along that Sunlink streetcar route, all the way from the University of Arizona through Main Gate Square. Park appropriately, follow directions, follow the guidances, but hop on Sunlink, come on down to the TCC, hop off and get there in that parking lot and enjoy your time. There's always great events going on at the Mercado San Agustin as well. Those aren't necessarily directly city related, but folks can ride down into the Mercado stops and enjoy whatever is going to be happening there, including some of the restaurants, the activities that might be occurring that day, and take advantage of that. The key piece that I do want to mention with that is that the Sunlink streetcar will be running for 30 minutes following the end of the fireworks show. So people want to make sure that if they are doing something down at the Mercado or around the TCC, they don't want to wait too long to hop on that once the show is completed, because they'll have 30 minutes to get back to their other location.
That'd be great. And, you know, speaking of the U of A, especially if you got little guys, taking them to the fireworks is going to be a fun, exciting thing for them. But they also enjoy riding the Sunlink streetcar. So if you go park on the east side of down by Speedway and Campbell at the other end of the streetcar link, and then hop on and take the kids, that trip in and of itself is kind of fun for everybody, but specifically for little kids, it's kind of fun to be on the Sunlink. And also, you're not waiting in traffic after the fireworks show. You're not there for another hour trying to get out. So it's a kind of a nice thing, especially if you have little ones, to kind of get them moving along so you can get back home. Will the food trucks be just at the Tucson Convention Center parking lot? Is that where they're going to be?
That's the ones that we have out. Yes, Ed, that's going to be the case. Absolutely.
There will be probably some other vendors that kind of are around in other places, but ones that you have arranged are down at the actual parking lot there. Okay, great. So that's Andy Squire from the City of Tucson City Manager's Office and Barrett Baker from the Tucson Fire Department. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll talk a little bit more about fireworks in the City of Tucson and what you can and can't do tonight when you're enjoying your 4th of July holiday, and what the restrictions are, and what the weather has done to us this first 6 months of the year, and where we stand. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM, Tucson's live local news and talk. We'll be back in just a minute with the second half of talking about fireworks on the 4th of July. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. It's Friday. It's 4th of July. It's Independence Day. And on Fridays, we talk about the good things going on in our community, including at the University of Arizona. We call this segment Wonder, and it's sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue and our good friends at Hughes Federal Credit Union. Our guests are Andy Squire from the City of Tucson City Manager's Office. Good morning again, Andy.
Good morning, Ed. Thank you.
And with us from the Tucson Fire Department is Barrett Baker. Barrett, can you tell us a little bit about the firework restrictions throughout the rest of the city? You guys have it all controlled up on Sentinel Peak and A Mountain, but what's the situation for the rest of the city tonight if people want to go out and use the fireworks that they've purchased at those tents or in grocery stores and stuff? What is the prohibition, and what are people can and cannot do tonight when they're celebrating 4th of July?
We're really trying to keep it simple, Ed, Dr. Ackerley, in this regard. If it goes up and out and explodes above us, then we leave that to professionals. And that's why we encourage everybody to go to A Mountain and watch and do the oohs and ahs there, because we want those oohs and ahs to be good. We don't want the oohs and ahs to be ouds. And so, again, anything that goes up and explodes in the air, those are completely banned. If you use the novelties, which is the smoke bombs, the I'm blanking on the name, even though I've said it 1,000 times, which is just your novelties.
Yeah, the ground fountains, the sparklers. Yeah.
Exactly. All of those things, those are usable on your personal property. And so, again, prevention is the key with that, though. So even those things, we want to make sure that we read the directions. We want to make sure that we do those in an area that you've taken a little bit of precaution beforehand. Wet things down, use the hose, get it wet, because the dry conditions, that are, again, are the bad thing. Anything that emits sparks and something 15 or 20 feet, if you're doing that next to oleanders and it's as dry as it is, those oleanders obviously can catch fire very, very quickly and then spread accordingly. So we want to make sure, again, wet everything down, have a fire extinguisher, have that, and just precaution. Do it on a driveway if possible compared to a lawn. So that's where we really are focusing on. When it comes to the restrictions that you spoke about, though, they are still banned when it comes to any city property. So even if you're at a park, it's a no-go when it comes to even those smoke bombs, the novelties. So just a little bit of prevention, do it in the right place. And when that comes, again, we do have 170 men and women every day that are ready to respond in case we do have those bigger incidents. But we're trying to minimize that, and a little bit of prevention, read the directions. The second part of it, not only from a fire department standpoint, but the number of burns that we're faced with when it comes to fireworks and having bad things happen. So protect your eyes, wear some eye protection when you're lighting those, long stem matches and the lighters that give you a little bit of distance between lighting those fireworks themselves. Those are major things that you can do to prevent injuries, because about 60% of the injuries that we see when it comes to the 4th of July and fireworks are to the eyes and the hands. So that's really what we're looking for. Ben Franklin here, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
That's great. So Andy, the both the police and the fire, especially on a day like tonight when they're responding to so many different things, they're kind of stretched to the limit. So it's really important that people follow the rules, because the last thing we need to do is give the fire department or the police department another call to go to because they're responding to someone who did something that they probably weren't supposed to do. But there probably are some fines or some minor things that if you did do something you weren't supposed to do, start a fire and so forth, there's probably some what the council just passed, there's probably some responsibility on the part of the person that does something that they aren't supposed to, correct?
Yeah, the key piece, I think, Ed, that's a challenge with that is, timing and the resources that we have available on the ground, right? If your neighbor is putting on their own giant pyrotechnic show and they acquired fireworks from places outside the state of Arizona, that there have been long traditions. I know myself growing up here, Barrett being from here, we had friends when we were kids that I'm sure bought fireworks both in Mexico and in New Mexico. No restrictions at all on that. And you could put on quite the show in your backyard. The danger there is that's really, as Barrett has said, that puts everybody at risk for fire safety. And yes, if a call comes into 911 because there is a giant pyrotechnic show going on, TPD will try to respond to that if it's an urgent or emergent call. I would also say that if people are really worried, they can reach out to 311 so as not to overwhelm the system. 311 can take that report, and they have the capacity to evaluate a call and determine if it really needs to be cycled up to a 911 call, if it's really more emergent rather than just an urgent or an important call to put in. Obviously, we'll investigate, we'll look at it. Off the top of my head, I don't really know what the fines are, but bigger picture is, yes, if you do break the law, there are penalties and there can be fines. The real issue is we need to think about our neighbors and our community and make sure that we're taking care of each other. Everybody's household is the place they have to live. And it's in most cases for most of us in Tucson, it's all we got, right? So we don't want to put anybody at risk. We don't want animals being driven out of yards. That's the only real, there's downsides to fireworks. There's a pyrotechnic side and there's a emotional side for some of the critters. And to be honest, it can even be stressful for some of our former veterans and people who experience PTSD and things of that nature. So we really do want to be sensitive to that. Those ground fountain fireworks are great. Those things you can do in your yard that are legal are fantastic. As Barrett said, we want to make sure that we are prepping that yard, that we've got it ready, that we've got a hose on standby, that we've got water. that we're maybe wearing a glove if we've got something that could potentially pop off in our hand, and that we're using those long matches or long lighters to make it work. But big picture, it is a celebration. It is a tradition. Our community really leans into that tradition and celebrates it. And we want people to have the best time they possibly can as safely as they can. And again, we really encourage them to head out to the big shows. There's great shows going on in the county, as well tonight, and then other shows throughout the region. So if there's an opportunity to do a big pyrotechnic show that isn't just with us, feel free. Keep it safe.
And then throughout the county too, Tucson Fire Barrett responded to 250 calls last year reporting illegal firework use, and that is a lot of calls on one night. So your guys are stretched pretty thin on a night like tonight. So again, try not to have Tucson Fire. you guys will take the calls, but you'd prefer not to get them, right?
Well, and to that point, you know, geographically, we've got 22 stations across the city. We've got 170 people on shift every day. We're keenly aware of the fact that while we message and ask that you know, we don't use the illegal fireworks, it still does happen. So to Andy's point, you know, if we can get people to buy into the fact that not to do it in the first place. Secondly, with those 250 calls, we're not able to get to every single call to 911 if it's just saying, hey, my neighbor's using fireworks illegally. So utilizing 311, let them escalate that. But that being said, our response time, we're trying to get to every single thing within 3 to 5 minutes is our goal. Because if we can get to something when it's very small, before it gets bigger, then that obviously saves lives, it saves property. We're good at it, but a little teamwork makes things go a lot smoother.
Right. So, Andy, we do have some resources from the city. Obviously, our TPD and our TFD and our maintenance folks who are working from Parks and Rec and helping with all of the prep work and the cleanup work afterwards. So there are some city resources being used, but there is a sponsor. The Desert Diamond Community is sponsoring the fireworks, so they're paying for the bulk of the fireworks. But, one would have to ask that question. You kind of answered it, but I'm going to ask it again. You know, why would the city use resources to celebrate something like 4th of July? And how does that help bring our community together?
Sure. Well, any city is made up of the people and the traditions that have been in existence for a long time, right? This is a part of our culture and our community. The fact that they've been launched from A Mountain for so many years means a great deal to those communities. There are also plenty of folks who are like, okay, can we please not do this anymore? Who live right under the mountain, who deal with the traffic and that kind of thing. But in all, they are amazingly good sports and great community members and have supported this for a long time. In fact, at one point, Ed, several years ago, there was discussion about maybe we don't do it on A Mountain, largely because of the buffalo grass growth and the other challenges that the mountain faces and the logistical challenges for our Tucson fire team to get on that mountain and make sure we can tamp down any fallout. Boy, did we hear from people when that was discussed. They love having it launched off of A Mountain. That is the tradition. That is what they want. At some point, Ed, I know that our mayor and council, who have supported the show for a long time, though, would like to explore some alternatives. We will work with everybody. You know, eventually this may turn into a drone show someday as prices for those come down, or a mixed show where we use fewer fireworks and put more drones up in the air. Drone shows right now are pretty pricey still. They run roughly somewhere for 500 drones for an 11-minute show, for a good quality show, it's about $250,000. So it's not a cheap event. So we, as you've said, Ed, you know, the commitment of those resources, the commitment of that is to celebrate the community's history, culture, and heritage as we celebrate with the rest of the nation our Declaration of Independence, the 4th of July, and who we are as a nation in all the best ways. So Mayor and Council have supported that for a very long time, continue to do so, and our teams are out there doing the work that they do. It's just a part of what we do, part of TFD, part of Tucson Fire, part of our parks team. As you alluded to, it takes an entire cadre of community members in the city of Tucson and teams to make it work. And it's worth it. It's a great experience, great memories for the kids out there in the community, and certainly a lot of family traditions.
That's great. Thank you, Andy Squire from the City of Tucson City Manager's Office, and Barrett Baker from our good friends and great heroes at the Tucson Fire Department for joining us today on The Morning Voice. Again, happy 4th of July. Celebrate responsibly. Enjoy the fireworks this tonight at 9 o'clock, starting at 9 o'clock, and enjoy your freedom on this Independence Day. This is Wonder on The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM, brought to you by Caruso's and Hughes Federal Credit Union. Happy 4th of July.